Wednesday, February 5th. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 and 11 through 15. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. You have also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children, "My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges." Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as his sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain, yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God, that no bitter root spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul puts them in mind that it ought to be a subject of great comfort to them that God calls them his children, his sons, and treats them as his true and legitimate children, when he admonishes them to live under discipline and obedience to him, when, to correct their disobedient and sinful ways, he sends the afflictions and persecutions in this world, which they ought to look upon as marks of his fatherly tenderness. For this is what a prudent, kind father does to his legitimate children, of whom he takes the greatest care. And not to use these corrections is to neglect them as if they were illegitimate children. It is true all discipline, all corrections and sufferings in this present life are disagreeable to our nature, because they bring not joy but trouble and grief with them, yet afterwards they who have been exercised with them will reap the most peaceable fruit of justice, eternal peace, and happiness in heaven. We must not judge of sufferings by the smart they occasion, but by the fruits of peace, justice, and eternal glory they produce in such as submit to them with patience. Therefore be fervent in piety, walk firmly in the way of virtue, walk straight without declining to one side or the other, without halting or going astray, and strive to be healed from your sins by his grace. Follow and seek peace as much as lies in you with all men, and purity of life without which no man shall see and enjoy God. The Gospel from Mark chapter 6 verses 1 through 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Haydock Commentary. When St. Mark says he could not do any miracles there, that is to say, he would not, because he did not think it proper to give what was holy to dogs, that is, to force his miracles upon unbelieving and ungrateful citizens, so could not is used for would not. Because, says Victor of Antioch on this passage, two things must coincide for the attaining of health, namely, the faith of those who need healing, and the power of him who will heal. Therefore, if either of these be wanting, the blessing of a cure will not readily be attained. We might wonder why the people have unbelief, because it seems to conflict with what is said in Luke 4:22, and all wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The answer is that the inhabitants of Nazareth wondered indeed that Jesus, the son of a carpenter, their well-known neighbor, should be so wise and eloquent, and yet were incredulous with respect to his doctrine and person, that he was in very deed the Messiah or Christ.